This is one of my favorite topics to get into, but it's one that actually most Christians are afraid to even get into it or even get into a discussion about it. And it's on science. All Christians are afraid because, you know, they think that, or the world has made us to believe that the Bible is just old-fashioned. It has no scientific value. There's nothing in it that's real. There's nothing in it that, you know, it's just old-fashioned that, you know, it served its time and now it needs to be done away with. And, that's completely opposite of what's true. God created, and then we get the world, you know, talks evolution, and Christians who are not very well founded in the Word kind of cower because they have all this scientific data to prove, you know, evolution and to prove all these things and to prove that the Bible is just old-fashioned and, you know, and something that we don't need, that we're just afraid. So we conform our beliefs to the world's. You have a lot of Christians today believe that God used millions of years instead of six-day creation. And which is not true. Because then we have serious problems and serious holes if you actually believe that. One of which, well, how did death come into play then? But I'm getting a little bit off subject, but this morning I just wanted to go through some things in the Bible that the Bible knew before we did, before man discovered it. And I'm going to title it, if I can, which came first? We've all heard the old, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, which came first? The Bible or man's knowledge of science? So, I'm not trying to say that the Bible is actually a science book. It's not, but it's God talking to us in His Word, and just by virtue of God being God, He would have knowledge of things that we couldn't possibly have yet. And I'm going to go through some of those things today. And there's hundreds and hundreds of them in the Bible, and I got about 16 or 17 that I just wanted to cover that are kind of my favorites. And actually, this very first one is answered in the Bible in Genesis 1:19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. So the chicken did come first because God created the fowls of the air. Then they begin to lay the eggs. But which came first? The Bible, science from the Bible, or what modern day science has revealed? So we'll go through and cover that. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. For it is the life of all flesh, that the blood of it is the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. So blood is life. Well, up until the 1980s, we didn't really realize exactly how much that meant, because we began to discover that in the blood you can find DNA. With the proper testing, they can take your blood and they can check your DNA, and they can basically tell you everything about you. They can tell you your eye color, everything, just by reading your DNA. So everything is in the blood. Like, your entire life is in your blood. Your whole DNA history, everything is in the blood. Well, God knew that 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. He wrote it down. But yet, you know, we didn't discover it until the 1980s. Turn to Jonah chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, to the depth, and closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Well, up until about the 1800s, everyone believed that the ocean was smooth, that you just dropped off and it was smooth and flat. But what they discovered when we began to actually explore the oceans, and actually later in the 1900s when we made submarines that could go down, we found out that there is actually mountain ranges in the ocean. Well, Jonah knew about it because he saw it. But if you look here, you can look at all the mountain ridges that are in the ocean. And actually, the island of Hawaii is actually the mountaintops of ocean mountains. It's actually mountaintops from the ocean floor. It's just the very top of the mountain. They're actually probably the tallest mountain in the world that Hawaii sits on. So again, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, God knew about it. Jonah found it out because he was inside of a whale and saw it. But yet we didn't discover it till a couple hundred years ago. Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 and 13. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whether thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle with thy weapon, and it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, that thou shalt dig therewith, and thou shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. And that's talking about the sanitation when you're camping or as an army. Up until the 1800s, we didn't realize that there was bacteria, where diseases come from. And up until the 1800s, the biggest problem when armies were camping, if they had to use the bathroom, they just used it wherever they were at the time that they had to go. Well, here in Deuteronomy, he's telling the Israelites in camp, if you have to go, you go outside the camp, you dig a hole, use it, and you cover the hole up. Modern sanitation, but it was 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. You know, we didn't discover it until 1800s when we realized and found out that how disease spread, because from your body waste, as it breaks down, it creates diseases that is carried by insects and animals and everything else into the camp. And one of the biggest problems up until that time in camp wasn't armies being killed by other armies. It was armies being sick and dying from dysentery and diseases because they wasn't following just simple sanitation. So again, another case. God knew it before we knew it. And Leviticus 15, verse 13. When he that have an issue is cleansed of this issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. Now, during the Civil War, when they was operating on soldiers who had been wounded, soldiers was dying from infections, and they couldn't figure out why they were dying from infections. They were washing their hands in pans of water and going to the next soldier, so they thought that was enough. But as it turned out, all they was doing was washing the disease off one soldier and carrying it to the next, because the water wasn't running, it wasn't cleaning the germs and the bacteria off their hands, so all they was doing was spreading it from soldier to soldier. But now they use running water, and they run water. If you've seen the doctor shows where they're going into surgery and they're running water over their hands before they go, the simple running water cleans, whereas this water that's not standing still will not clean the germs and disease. But again, it's a case God knew it 3,000 or 4,000 years before we figured it out a couple hundred years ago. Job chapter 26 and verse 7. He stretches out the earth over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. The earth, we now know, orbits the sun. Well, we didn't discover that till the 1600s. Again, Job knew about it 3,000 or 4,000 years before. But as you can see, all the planets orbit around the sun. And for a long time, we believed that the earth stood still and everything circled the earth. But in the 1600s with Galileo and others, as they began to look into the heavens with telescopes, they began to realize, no, the earth's moving. You know, we discovered it 400 or 500 years ago, but God knew about it and wrote about it 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Job 38:16. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked into the searches of the depth? Something we didn't know till the 1970s, that there was freshwater springs in the ocean. And they figured out how it happens. It's just run off through the cracks and stuff in the earth. It actually comes up into the ocean. But we didn't discover that until it was in the 70s. But yet, again, Job knew about 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Again, before modern science figured, you know, found it out, you know, God already knew and already wrote it. Isaiah 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and in the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So is he not describing that picture? So how did Job know that the world was round, that it was a circle? When you saw it, it was a circle. Well, we didn't know about it till the 1960s, when we actually could finally send satellites into space to take a picture of the Earth to prove. We knew that it was round, but we had never actually seen what Job was talking about till the 1960s, when they could take that picture from space. Luke 17:34-36. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. And two men in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Now, at the exact same time, we've got Christ is talking about his return. And the exact same time, he's saying, well, some will be working in the field. Some will be asleep in bed. So there'll be day and there'll be night. Well, they didn't know at that time about the difference. You know, they figured when it was day everywhere. But we know, because of modern science, and we found out just when we began to travel the world, and we improved it with satellites in the, you know, 50, 60 years ago, that when one side of the earth's day, the other side's night, because of the way it's positioned against the sun. But again, it's something that we didn't, it, you know, 50, 60 years ago, we were able to prove it, but God knew about it again couple thousand years ago. Psalms 8:8. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. And it was, again, it's talking about there's paths in the sea. I don't know if you've ever heard of Matthew Murray. He, in the 1800s, actually started the science of oceanography. And he started it mainly because of this verse. Because he couldn't understand what the Bible was talking about, paths being in the sea. Well, as he got in and started looking, he discovered that there is paths in the sea. All these is currents. And if you all remember Finding Nemo, the Eastern Australian Current, if you look over off to the Australia, that's it there, that little curve. And right here by us, the Gulf Stream Current. Once they discovered it, they found out that you could actually hit the Gulf Stream Current in Florida, follow the Gulf Stream Current all the way up the coast and shoot across and get to London quicker than you could if you left New York and went straight to London. just simply because the current's that strong. But it was passing the sea, and as you find, birds and fish will stay in that current because that's where all the food is. But Mr. Murray, because of that Bible verse, basically created what was now modern oceanography and was able to discover and map each current in the ocean. And which he ended up and he founded all kinds of other things. He actually did the precursor to the Weather Bureau and also the modern meteorology. So, but because of his belief in the Bible and in that verse, and he knew that God must have known what he was talking about, he went to seek out to find paths in the sea, which he was able to find them. And Psalms 102, verses 25 and 26. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Well, again, when they was writing the Psalms 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, they was describing, well, everything's dying. Everything's winding down. But until the 1600s, we didn't discover it until Sir Isaac Newton began the law of all the laws of thermodynamics. And this is actually the second law of thermodynamics, which part one is heat flows from a hot body to a cold one. So once it's hot, it's going to start getting cold. But down in the bottom, every isolated system becomes disordered in time. So in the second law of thermodynamics, whatever system you have, over a period of time, it goes from the order it's in to a disorder. It's never going to be, it will never match what it was at the beginning because it's winding down and becoming disorderly as it goes. So the longer it goes, the more disorderly it becomes. Sir Isaac Newton didn't write that law down till the 1600s. But yet, you know, you hear what it was written in the Psalms 3,000 or 4,000 years before. Psalms 19:6. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And here in Psalms it's talking about the sun, and it's talking about its circuit. But the sun is not stationary. Actually, we're moving rather fast through our galaxy. We orbit the center of our galaxy, the sun does, which in turn, because of its gravitational pull, it pulls all the planets with it. But no one knew this until the beginning of modern astronomy in the 1900s. When they actually realized that it was the center of the galaxy, and they was able to tell that the sun is actually moving and orbiting around the galaxy. But here in the Psalms again, 3,000 or 4,000 years before, it knew the sun was on a circuit and that it kept traveling around that circuit. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 6. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his currents. So here it's describing winds as in a circular pattern. Well, we didn't discover this until during World War II in the 1940s. The jet stream. You have a polar jet, you have a subtropical jet, and same thing in the southern equator, you have the polar and you have the subtropical. Now the polar jets are the most powerful ones, and that's basically what brings us our weather. Well, the polar jets, as it says, it follows its circuit around. It travels from west to east, circling the globe. But it also oscillates and goes up and down. It goes north and south as it goes, which is what draws the cold weather in, the warm weather up, depending on how it bends. When it dips, it brings cold weather down. When it rises, it brings warm weather up. But we didn't discover the jet stream until the 1940s when bombers, when they would leave England to bomb Germany, they would fly high so they would avoid the anti-aircraft fire, but they flew so high that they actually got into the jet stream and found out that they could get to Germany in half the time by hitting the jet stream. And then after they further investigated, then they found out that it is actually a stream in the air that flows around the earth. But again, you know, Solomon writes about it in Ecclesiastes 3,000 or 4,000 years before we find out that it's actually there. And this one is actually one of my favorites. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Well, in modern astronomy, you know, they try to measure all the stars so they could class all the stars together. Well, they have a star class. There's actually 7 classes of stars. Now, I find that, because I don't believe in coincidences, I find that amusing because God's number of completion is 7. So there's only 7 classes of stars. And all the stars that you see and that they can see through a telescope falls in those 7 classes. But in the 7 classes, there is 10 classifications, which is ranges from 0 to 9, which 0 is the hottest, to 9 the coolest. So whatever your classification is, you have, yeah, there's 10 ways that you can be in that classification based on how hot that star is. And if you go all the way up after 0, you go to the next class. The rule follows in every one. There's not an exception to any of the rule. Well, 10 is the law. 10 is always in the Bible referred to either with the law or with tribulation. So in this instance, I'm going to assume it's the law, because the law is after you hit one class, you go to the next. After you go through all 10 classifications in that group, you go to the next class, and then the next class. But there's never an exception. There's only 10 classes in each section, and then you go up. And there's nothing more, nothing less after that. So all the stars have their same, as the same glory, or different glories, and it still follows God's law of completion and God's law. Back to Job. Job 36, verses 27 and 28. For he maketh small the drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which is the clouds, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. He's talking about the water cycle. And also if you read in Ecclesiastes 1:7, it goes over the same thing. It talks about how the rivers run into the ocean, but the ocean never overflows. But it's the water. And we've known about this for a couple hundred years, but here again, Job knew about 4,000 years before. But, you know, you have the, you know, it rains, the water was on the land, it runs to the ocean, the water evaporates back up in the clouds, and the clouds come back, and the cycle just continues. But again, we didn't know about it a couple hundred years ago, but yet God knew and wrote about it 4,000 years ago. And now, I'll end with my most favorite one of all, Job 26, verse 10. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. So, I like the New King James Version of that better. And it says, he drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. And I like, this is my favorite, because this is something we didn't know existed until 1968, when the Apollo 8 crew, when they began orbiting the moon, they took a picture and sent it back to Earth for everyone to see. But is that not what Job is describing? There's the boundary of light and darkness and the circle. Now, how did Job know that? To even write about it, to even guess about it. How did he do that without somehow God knowing? And we didn't know about it till 48 years ago. So I think the answer to which came first, modern science or the Bible still stands hands down. And like I said, this is only about 16 or so examples of things in the Bible that God knew before we did. It's knowledge that He had, that not that He was trying to teach us something, it's just that it was knowledge He knew and that He said that we didn't really couldn't understand until now. So when people begin to question about how relevant the Bible is today, or how, you know, you have to be old-fashioned or unscientific, they're wrong. And it's just trying to, they don't want to argue, they don't want to get in and dig deep, and so it's easier to try to accept the world's view and let it water down God's Word. And I've always said before, they try to water down God's Word about creation, because when you do that and you water down what God said about creation in the opening of Genesis chapter 1, when it says, in the beginning God created, if you try to water that down and go, well, that's just a metaphor, that's just a story, then you take away God's supremacy. You take away God as being the final authority and the only authority on anything. Because if He's the Creator, then He is the final authority. And if He is the Creator, then He has all this knowledge that we don't have, that in some instances that we're just now beginning to learn and understand. So He has to be supreme Creator, and any attempt to try to water that down is, it's the same thing as when the serpent spoke to Eve and said, you know, go ahead and eat it, you won't die. That's not what God meant. And that's basically how we've turned creation, when we start saying, well, God used millions of years and He used evolution to do all that, then we turn creation into, well, that's not what God really meant. So then when you put that out there, then it opens up everything. Well, then God didn't really mean that. And you take away God's authority then. I hope I wasn't too scientific, but I get enthralled by I love science, and a lot of Christians fear science because they're afraid that somehow science is going to disprove God. Well, you know, my belief is truth is truth. And truth is, if it's truth, then it's God. You know, 2 + 4 is truth. Then it's God, because God's truth. So if science, you know, to me, I think only science, when you get into it, only points to that there has to be a God. I think Jenny posted an article on our church's Facebook page from Wall Street Journal, where scientists are now saying, you almost have to believe in God for things to exist. And to believe that things exist, you almost have to believe in God. So you even have the world now saying, well, hey, you know, maybe there's something there. And the smartest men in the world, the two smartest men in the world, and they'll argue who's first and who's second, but the smartest two men is Sir Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. Both believe in creation. Now, Einstein was more of God created it and then stepped back and watched and see how it went. Sir Isaac Newton didn't really believe that way. He believed God created it and God was involved in His creation and in the people in creation. But So you have to be pretty scientific to believe in creation. And it's not some, you know, way out there, old-fashioned view at science, and we're not unscientific by believing in it. A lot of things is being created by people or who believe in creation in science. One example, if you ever had an MRI, the inventor of the MRI, he's a creationist. He believes in creation. But you can't believe in creation and be scientific. But how did he create the MRI? So, just in closing, I just admonish to get in the Word, and don't be afraid when people start throwing science out there. Because if they're throwing science out there, if it's true, indeed, science, that's only going to point to God. And probably somewhere in the Bible, it's probably been mentioned in passing in some way, shape, or form anyway. Because who would have believed all these things about space? So, that's all I have. So I'll turn it back over to Doug.